Hello and welcome along, guys, to another episode. Episode 3 of the Let's Colour podcast, Lifting the Lid. We are lifting the lid on all things changing rooms in this very special series. And you have joined us for episode 3. We are 3 episodes into changing rooms.
It's going too fast, Steph.
I know. It is going too fast. It will soon be over, but let's not think about that. Let's think about the here and now. Coming up on today's episode, we have another amazing show lined up for you today. Of course, the 3rd in the series so far.
And kicking off today's Let's Colour podcast, we're going to deep dive into the latest episode from the show. We'll discuss and review this week's beautiful designs and give you an insight into what really happened behind the scenes, of course.
It was a really great episode this week, so I cannot wait to compare notes on this one. Then, Marianne, we will be welcoming the very lovely Russell and Jordan from 2LG Studios, who some of you may know as the Two Lovely Gays. They are a brilliant design duo and one that gives LLB a run for his money. So we will be chatting to them for all of the lowdown later.
And then we'll be doing a slightly different Dr. Dulux, as we won't be taking your questions, but we will be walking you through how you can recreate some of the looks from the show and try some of the techniques for yourself.
And finally, we'll be revealing what we've got in store for next week's episode, of course, so do stay with us throughout the series for even more from the show.
I feel this one is going to be good, Steph. I can feel these things in my waters.
Oh, well, hopefully it's a warm, fuzzy feeling rather than just warm.
Or wet.
Let's move on. So, in this week's episode, we went up north and went to... That's a really rubbish accent. Sorry for anyone who lives up north. We went to Leeds.
Aww.
I've never been to Leeds before.
No, it's brilliant.
Oh, I need to go.
It is the most brilliant city ever. You've got to go.
I will, after this, we are going
in this episode.
We are. We are jetting off to sunny Leeds.
Yep.
And we met up with our 2 design pairings for this week. So we met up with Pauline and Lily. Fantastic mother and daughter pair. Absolutely loved Pauline. I thought she was fantastic. And another mother and daughter pair in Amanda and Rachel. What I thought was brilliant about this episode was the fact that both of these flats, because both of these lovely couples lived in flats, and they were both social housing, which is a really interesting kind of design dilemma, I guess. If you're an LLB or a Russell and Jordan of the world, you can't be putting up MDF panels or,
no,
you know,
you
teapot shelves or
with paint. And that's lovely.
Exactly.
Because it's kind of like generation rent, isn't it? You know, what can we do with paint? How can we transform our spaces and make them look absolutely amazing with paint and
yeah.
some real touches, upcycling and that kind of thing. So I'm loving all of these, but I think this is another of my absolute favourite episodes.
It was a really great episode.
Should we start talking about Ulterior Violet?
Ulterior Violet,
yeah.
For Pauline and Lily.
Yeah,
yes,
Pauline and
absolutely. Dive in. What did you think? What did you think of them and obviously their home, their design brief, and then, of course, the scheme?
I loved it. I loved a little bit of trompe l'oeil.
So Lawrence
did a little bit of that sort of like trick of the eye panelling, which I thought was so, so clever.
Really clever.
Completely transformed the walls. And this is the kind of magic, you know, ever since I can remember. You know, all of the things that we do, we transform things with paint. It's magic. Paint
yeah.
magic is absolutely what it is. And that was absolutely beautiful. I liked the way that he used purple, because she already had purple in her space, a purple wall and a purple carpet.
Yeah.
But he used the colours around purple, not the purple itself. So it was less obvious.
Yeah.
It was really beautiful. The colours that sort of surround it in the spectrum, that I thought that was really, really lovely.
And I love the fact he did that as well, because you could tell instantly as soon as you met Pauline and Lily, of course, they were just such bright characters.
Mm.
And particularly Pauline, she did kind of described herself as really bright and bold
yeah.
and really liking kind of statement pieces of art and things that she has in her home. Mm. But, you know, by her own self-confession, just didn't particularly know what to do with
yeah.
all that bright boldness
yeah.
and it kind of materialized into the purple carpet, purple this, purple matching
yeah.
purple bits and pieces
yeah.
kind of around her living space,
yeah.
which, you know, didn't necessarily really represent her, but therefore Ulterior Violet as a design manifesto was born. So I really liked the fact he picked up on that and thought, clearly she likes bright,
yeah.
but let me do something that's a bit different to what she's got. Not a million miles away, but different.
Absolutely. I mean, this was vintage Lawrence. You know, he went back into his heartland of paint effects and finishes. And when they put that beautiful orange on the wall, and that was a really lovely colour. So, oh, this is a lovely colour. And then used this as a background to do a Macassar wood effect. And that was genius. Because again, it transformed the room in one way, gave it a massive smile, and then just did this lovely, sophisticated thing on top of it. I thought that was absolutely lovely. So that and the Tromlo panelling. And then the vases.
I love the vases.
That's my favourite.
What an amazing, amazing
so
use.
So simple.
Really
so simple.
Simple.
So a pasta jar, you know, you can pick those up from IKEA for a couple of quid, can't you? A pasta
jar.
A bit of emulsion paint. You know, I loved that. I really, really loved that. Marble effect was real genius. I was smiling and thinking, why hadn't I thought of that?
Oh, no, everything was zooming around my head. I thought, wow, like I, you know, didn't really know that was possible to do on, you know, on something like that. And I thought it'd be a great thing to kind of do with the family, you know, obviously not get people too involved, but, you know, choosing the colours. Yeah.
That's what you're going to get
presents
for Christmas.
Oh, well, you've ruined that for me now, haven't you? So if I get someone else on Secret Santa this year. But I would be very happy actually with that, because it was a beautiful effect, wasn't it?
It just looked
so wonderful. And a really great way to use up leftover paint as well. You know, you have those little bits left in testers that you might have bought, or little bits left over from your wall projects that you might have been doing, and just to create something that is so timeless that you can then move.
Yeah.
Brilliant.
Another design thing that Lawrence did as well, he put those carpet tiles on diagonally. He created this sort of dynamism in the space, because it was a little box, wasn't it? I mean, the room was a little
small
box, and so he made the walls look grand using the panelling and the Macassar effect. And then he made the floor look very dynamic. It had this beautiful sort of, you walked in and you just got this kind of jazzy feel on the floor, and it made the room really, really come alive. So that use of a diagonal motif, I thought that was really clever.
Yeah, because it would have been completely different if you just put those tiles square on. It would have literally looked like a checkerboard, wouldn't it, really? Which is not what you would have wanted with all of that other stuff. So really clever use of drawing your eyes towards where he wanted them to be in that space.
Yeah. And the colours that he used, I mean, they used a colour. They used a combination of colours on the walls, regal silk. I love that.
Just
and then another
colour
called
expensive.
Free dive. So this is kind of like, and then striking cyan. I mean, you and I are addicted to colour names. We know the colour names are the things that capture what the colour's really doing to the space. And regal silk, free dive, striking cyan, those are just colours that really captured the essence of what you wanted to create in the room.
Yeah, and Pauline as well.
Absolutely.
Which was great. Really great. So, but yeah, very bold colour choices, but really, really well done. Mm. And of course, we've got to talk about that reveal moment.
Oh, yeah.
And Pauline was just, I think, the word was just kind of overwhelmed and overjoyed. There were tears of joy, weren't there?
It was lovely. Again, we keep talking about this, but that sort of, that power of friendship and people really expressing love through doing something magical on some people's walls, and the power of decorating. You know, we know this, don't we, Steph? You know, we're crying every day at work, but you know, not always tears of joy. But that was really lovely. That was really uplifting. Again, I think you and I have both shed a little tear on some of these episodes.
Oh, definitely.
This was definitely one of them.
This was definitely one of them, because it's just so nice to see someone just kind of their essence being taken by a designer, and then a designer just really applying that essence back on their own walls so that they can then, you know, live how they want to live in that space.
Yeah.
You know, particularly if that space is small, or if you've got constraints on how you can use it, as was the case here.
Yeah.
You know, amazing things can be done even with the smallest of spaces and even with the brightest of colours. So it was really beautiful to kind of see that story being played out. Mm. Should we move on to the next one?
Hear Me Roar.
Yes, Hear Me Roar indeed. So this was Amanda and Rachel, wasn't it? Another mother and daughter team. And their original room was quite plain, quite dull by her own admission, and definitely in need of a bit of an update, wasn't it?
I think the cats liked it, but I think the cats needed a bit of change as much as she did.
I'm sure they probably did. Even the cats were complaining.
So Jordan and Russell wanted to take those pussycats and turn them into lions, and
I love it.
That's exactly what they did.
They did. And you know what I thought was absolutely brilliant about this is that in a way it was so unexpected, because we know Russell and Jordan to be all about bright colours. They use a lot of kind of greens and blues and cobalts and purples and, you know, corals. But actually, they made neutrals look incredible, I thought. Yeah. And actually, I'm not a neutrals gal at all.
Yeah.
But I thought that result of the layering of all of those beautiful neutral colours, those warmer tones, like the natural Hessian they put on the wall, that's a colour that's been in our range for donkey's years.
Yeah, that's so beautiful.
It looked amazing. Yeah, it just looked so sophisticated and really grown up, but also just really beautiful and modern. And I wouldn't have put money on that actually being a scheme that I would have liked, but I thought it was great.
Yeah, I love the cat shells as well. Tibby pulling it out of the bag yet again.
Tabby. Oh, look at you. Tibby would like that, you know.
I think he would have liked that. He would have appreciated that little pun.
Yeah.
But yeah, I thought that cat shelving was incredible. And if you saw, I loved the way he jointed those right angles together. And this is what I like about this series as well, is it's the quality of stuff.
Yeah.
Because Tibby, he's a real craftsman. And you can see it. Because when you look at, sometimes when you look at the joints going together in some makeover shows, you think, oh God, no, that's going to last about 2 minutes. But everything that guy's done, all of the decorating, it looks like it's going to be there to last a long time. And it's really, really impressive. I love that. Talk about Tibby doing his beautiful thing with the cat shells. Should we talk about the dirty protest with the broom?
Well, it would be weird if we didn't, because it was quite a feature in the room, wasn't it? And I have to say, again, when I think I've seen this in a different episode, when you get that design through on an email and you think, wow, how, is someone really suggesting smudging like an off brown colour up a wall with a broom? You think, someone's had a bad day here.
Yes, I think George the decorator's face said it all when he got the broom out and started to try and do that. But actually, it was a brave thing to do.
And, it was.
And often, you know, the most bold and memorable things are done with mark making. You know, we make marks on things, and art and modern art is just mark making. And they were brave enough and bold enough to do that mark making with a broom. And when I first saw it, I thought, oh no, this is just so wrong. It's not going to work. And it looked beautiful.
Do you know what? It did.
In the finished result, it looked really good.
I had to eat my own words for sure.
It just took bravery. They had to be brave.
With Brave Ground, which was the colour they used.
Colour of the year.
There you go. Oh, I did that. It's amazing. I have to say, that is one of the surprises of the room for me, is it kind of needed that. Without that, it would have actually still been quite a plain box, wouldn't it, really, that room? Yeah. But to add that extra layer of texture with essentially what is a broom on a wall with some paint with some paint on the end is very brave, but it massively paid off.
It did.
What I loved about it was that totally like organic nature of how it came about, but also the shape they created was really just made the room, didn't it?
It did.
It was great.
It did.
And one further thing that I just thought was brilliant was actually we talked about the neutrals, but they did add that little bit of pink as well to that room. So again, it just added another layer of interest, I think. Yeah. They had this lovely pink stripe going up from the skirting over the radiator, up onto the ceiling, and it was just perfect. It was beautiful.
That's a lovely thing in decorating. When you take that colour, so people often stop at the skirting, they paint the skirting a different colour or white or something, but to take the colour all the way down to floor level and all the way up across the ceiling, across anything that stands in its path, don't let anything stand in its path, and just take the colour across everything, and it's just subtle, very clever. It's not quite that easy to do because you have to use, you know, masking tape really, really carefully, but it's gorgeous, really, really, really memorable decorating.
Absolutely. Really, really loved that. That whole scheme for me, just when you saw that reveal, you know, when the camera went from how the room was before and transitioned into how the room was. Yeah, that was a real moment for me. And of course, Amanda and Rachel, they absolutely loved it too. There was more tears as well, wasn't there?
They'd known each other for how many years?
Oh, the neighbours had known each other for
years. Yeah. And you thought, well, there's a friendship that's been even more cemented together. And that was really lovely. That's nice to see.
Absolutely. So you've heard a lot about what we think about the designs, but of course we want to know what you think. So do send us a DM on Facebook and Instagram if you want to share your thoughts with us. And we would love to know what you think. You've heard a lot about what we think. We would love to know your thoughts. So any highlights, do let us know.
So let's continue on our changing rooms journey with our very special guests for today's episode. Today, we're joined by Jordan Cluro and Russell Whitehead from 2LG Studio. These guys are absolutely brilliant. It's safe to say I am a super fan.
Super fan, yeah.
They describe their style as joyful minimalism. Isn't that lovely? Joyful minimalism.
I love that term. I love that term. I can't wait to see joyful minimalism on our screens. Russell and Jordan founded 2LG Studio, their interior design consultancy, in 2014 and have been described as the rising stars of the interior scene by the Sunday Times and a defining force in the future of interiors by British Vogue. Fancy, hey?
I know. These guys are truly fabulous. And so without further ado, let's welcome them both to the show. Hello, Russell and Jordan.
Hello. Pleased to be here.
Right, first things first, we're not older than you. I'm definitely older than you. And I wanted to ask you, because I think these guys are going to have been three when changing rooms first came.
Probably. Oh, I wish.
But what were your first memories of the first series? Can you remember the first series of changing rooms?
I vividly remember it. Yeah, we've talked about this a lot, and it was like a family thing to do. I just vividly remember having a bowl of spag bol on my lap, watching changing rooms with the family, and it was really a big part of my childhood growing up.
Same. It was one of the three things that we had to watch. It was always Question of Sport, which I hated. There was another one which I can't remember, but it was probably a sporting show or something to do with cars and changing rooms. And they were the sort of three things that we would sit down as a family and watch together. So it was, absolutely a huge part of growing up.
And do you think it was something that inspired you? Do you think that's part of your interior design journey? Because it's something that kind of like lit a little spark?
Yeah, definitely. Of course. I think it's sort of Clothes Show Live. That was another one I used to love.
That's right. Cool.
Jeff Banks. And those sorts of shows absolutely were fed into sort of every part of what we do now and who we are, I guess.
Yeah. And I do think, like you touched on it, the fact that we probably both grew up in households that were very sporty. And so changing rooms was like something for us. I absolutely loved that kind of big burst of creativity. And I sort of didn't realize it at the time, but it definitely sparked something. And I can remember every year doing a big Santa's grotto, and I would always do like cut things out and repaint certain parts of my room, and I would go completely all out. And one year my mum said for my birthday I could redecorate my room because I love changing rooms so much.
Yes.
And I did the classic of like picking out the border and the wallpaper and the bedding.
Course,
and it was like this matchy-matchy 90s room.
This bedroom still exists in Russell's family house, and it's all like blue and white. It'd be very fashionable right now. And actually my brother had the same room. I think it was a Marks and Spencer set that was like blue polka dot with a blue pinstripe and then like a rope border that was like in swirls, wasn't it?
I wasn't hugely unique at that point.
I think things have somewhat moved on for you.
I hadn't found my creativity yet.
I think that was quite bold for like an 8-year-old or however old you were.
So in terms of this new series then, how did you get involved in the show? Like what was that first call when you picked up the phone? You know, how did you end up as the second design pair on the new series of changing rooms?
Well, we'd actually had a bit of a long-standing relationship with the production company because we'd met them a few years previously,
right,
and we'd sort of screen tested for something else. And so you sort of, you know, it's a bit fingers in pies. You do these things, you cast these spells, and then one day one of them comes back to you, doesn't it?
Yeah.
So you just have to keep moving forward. And
it felt very serendipitous, didn't it? We sort of, one of the guys who was at Shine, Johnny Mina, became a good friend, and through the grapevine he said, I think they might be making changing rooms again, and we were like, okay, we have to be on that boat.
Hello,
I know. So we emailed somebody and they got back in touch and said, you're already on my radar, I've already got you down to bring you in. And then the rest is history.
The next question was it going to be an instant yes from you when you got that phone call? But you've just answered it.
Yeah, absolutely. It really felt so full circle for us, didn't it? It was sort of, I felt like that ship couldn't sail without us on it. I think I even said that in our screen test. I was like, this absolutely has to be something that we're a part of. You can't possibly make it without us. And they went, all right then.
Well, actually, interestingly, we often disagree on things and certain projects that we should or shouldn't do. And that's a big part of our business. But we both agreed on this one instantly.
It's a yes from you.
Yeah.
No questions asked. Amazing. And there's obviously a new team on this version of Changing Rooms for this series on Channel 4. So you've got Lawrence, you've got Anna, you've got Tibby.
Yeah.
How are you enjoying working with the new team? Sort of tell us about how you're all gelling together.
We're all getting on really well, aren't we? I think at first, I think they had this idea that perhaps there'd be a lot of rivalry.
Yeah,
and what they didn't plan for was the fact that actually we get on really well. They're sort of this gang, that the idea we're a gang traveling around the country solving people's decorating dilemmas. And we really are all getting on really well, aren't we? Anna's,
I think, when you take people away from home and you remove everyone's creature comforts,
yeah,
you all bond like really intensely because yeah. you're all in it together. And there was like a real bonding experience, wasn't there, with everybody? And also like the kind of nice surprise that you just don't know who you're going to meet or who the team's going to be. And the chemistry was just like really instant. We just had a good laugh. And Lawrence is so warm, and he will never kind of give you anything. Like, he won't let you know that he likes you,
but
you can see a little yeah. glint in his eye. So I'm hoping secretly he likes me back because I love him to pieces.
It's so funny how you fall into those roles, isn't it, of like that in a family situation. Tibby's like the little brother that we all sort of look after and protect a bit. He's very funny and very sweet. And then Anna's like the naughty one who's really cheeky. And then Lawrence is like the sort of stern kind of grandfather or uncle maybe.
No, it's not going to like that.
We called him Obi-Wan.
You know, we are living with COVID. What were those restrictions like on set? Practically.
It was hard. It was quite a roller coaster because obviously the show itself as a format is very emotional and it's all about human connection. And we've just lived through a period that is the opposite of that. And so it was like this most intense, extreme thing of all of these emotions and this real connection that you're having on the journey. And then obviously COVID means that you can't then sort of have a giggle. And there was a lot of, it was conflict, wasn't it? Because on one part of the day, you're like, oh my God, I'm getting to do this. And then on the other part, you have to like put it all back in the box and be really, really, you know. So it was emotionally wonderful and also very difficult. But, you know, hopefully the happiness comes out on the screen.
It's the strange thing of sort of, I haven't hugged my mum in, you know, 18 months. And in a way, wonderful that we got to hug these wonderful homeowners that we were doing these amazing decorating makeovers for. And I think we all felt that sort of, that connection, particularly in Leeds. The guys in Leeds were just so lovely. It was just like hugging your mum, but not your mum.
I think there's something very special about changing rooms specifically as well, though, yeah. because in the most testing moments on the whole thing,
yeah.
everyone there just wanted it to work and loves the show so much. Yeah. So there's this kind of legendary, iconic thing in the back of everyone's heads and they're just going, we will just get through this together because we all care about it. And that was lovely. There was a huge amount of love in the room, wasn't there?
Oh, so much. And, we did laugh every day. Everyone was in such good spirits. Also, because we'd all been locked up for so long, we were so excited to be out, even if we still had to, you know, go back to our rooms at night and put our masks on and whatnot. You know, it was That freedom, it was like a huge release, wasn't it?
Yeah.
It was lots and lots of fun.
And the way that you had to film the show was that you were isolated, weren't you, for about 5 weeks?
We were a bubble. A moving COVID bubble. Apparently the first ever in television, yes, a moving bubble. I think the fact that we were moving and interacting with different families each week was the thing that made it tricky. So the week before we arrived, they would have isolated for a week so they could join the bubble. It was a lot.
The hardest thing for me was the dog, actually, because we've never been apart from our dog ever.
Oh, of course,
so we've had like the odd weekend where he stayed at his nan's house, but that was quite tough. Challenging.
It was. My mum had him for the whole time, and when we got home, he sort of didn't know who we were.
I was just like, who are you?
We walked in and expecting him to run bounding towards us, and he just sort of sat on his bed and looked, and we were like, hello, Buckley. Yeah. And then he cried and ran over and screamed.
Well,
and,
when he smelled our feet, yeah. he came over and he sort of had a sniff, and then he just threw his head back and screamed. And he was like, it's you! It's like the memory just kicked in.
Bless him. That was harsh.
Yeah.
So we're going to get personal now for a second, because obviously we want to know the ins and outs of how this has worked for you. So you are obviously a couple in real life, which is amazing. However, did you have any domestics about the designs? We really want to know. Did you ever have any of those moments where you're like, we are not using that pink
Creativity
Jordan?
Is conflict.
Of course. Yeah.
We say this to our clients. We work with a lot of couples in real life as well. Yeah. So it's sort of, we always say that we have the arguments for you. And I think because we are married, we sort of take it that bit further than you might in a normal working relationship.
I also think, like, we both trained as actors originally, and the kind of role of the actor is to go through the script, work in the rehearsal room to find out where the tension is.
Yeah.
Because every piece of theatre stands and falls on dramatic tension. If there is none, then you've got nothing to watch.
Yeah.
That's kind of the excitement. And so I suppose we try to find out the dramatic tension in each scheme that we design. And sometimes that does create conflict because... Yeah.
Sometimes. Often.
Often.
because we do have completely different tastes, don't we?
In do reality. You?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Okay. Very different approaches to things.
Yeah, which is...
Very different.
Probably where the fun is, the kind of...
I like that you label it as fun.
I mean, sometimes if something's flowing too easily, we will sort of...
Feel like we're not working hard enough.
Maybe we haven't pushed this far enough. Maybe there's another layer that we need to find because we need to take it that little bit further. And then that can be the sweet spot, can't it?
I'm a real finisher, though. I like to finish something and then draw a line under it. Go, right, that design's finished now. We'll do, and then Russell will be like, you know, 2 days before we start, what if we just did this instead? I'm like,
that's
what?
True. That
you
is
can't
true.
Do that. It's set in stone.
Yeah, I like to have a movable process 100% of the time, whereas Jordan's like, can we not?
I'm such a control freak. So that's free. But actually, that is often where the magic happens, or something completely that you hadn't thought about can appear. And that is good. You are right.
Yeah.
I just find it very stressful.
It's good to know. As a person in a couple, you know, well, I'm not alone. So that's fine. Even though we don't see it often, good to know I'm not on my own there. So that's all good.
Your design style and Lawrence's design style yes. are very different, which is what makes the show so exciting yeah. to watch. Now, let's be honest. Did you like all of Lawrence's designs? And would you have Lawrence design a room in your home? You're going to be nice. I don't want you to be nice.
No, well, it's funny you said we talked about that, actually. Behind the scenes, we sort of said, a little spin-off show where you do a room in our house and we'll do a room in your house. And he said, you're not doing a room in my house. I said, well, you could do our utility room. We do have very, very different styles, don't we? And I can appreciate everything that Lawrence does. And I was really excited to see his rooms because I knew they would be so different to ours. But yeah, I mean, it's not my taste, but that doesn't mean I don't appreciate all the work that's gone into them and like how colourful they were. I actually think he'd been looking at our website quite a bit. There was one room that was very 2RG colour palette. It's like, why does this feel familiar but opulent? I'm like,
It's interesting, isn't it? I mean, I can honestly say, and I don't want this to be the most boring answer ever, but I can honestly say there was no room that I walked into and went, oh no, that's gross, that's horrible.
Yeah.
Because there's always like a quality to what Lawrence does that you can really appreciate the kind of creativity that's gone into it. So it wouldn't be my choice, but I can see the passion of it. And that really excites me. Whenever I see someone living their best life and fully going for it, that's cool by me. It doesn't matter if it's completely the opposite of what I would have done.
I'd love to hear his answer to that question.
Oh, don't you worry. That's coming up. That's in his script. We're gonna get the lowdown from him. Do you think he's gonna be nice about your designs? I think he will be.
Not on camera, no. He'll say it when you've stopped recording.
Yeah.
He'd leave the room. And he'd do his bit on camera, and then he'd be like, it's very good, actually, but it's very televisual. Straight off the pages of Elle Decoration, that one. But then on camera, it was, you've always got to put something pants in a room, haven't you? There was that one episode where we made that lamp with, what's it called?
Modrock.
And he was like, Modrock. I was like, Lawrence, you taught us about Modrock 20-odd years ago, mate. You know, come on.
We learned it all from you, Lawrence. And then we took a few things away.
Half.
Yeah.
That's kind of answered the next question, actually, as well. So I know I said it. So I know that we can't, you know, you can't give us any sort of specifics of the design schemes, but was there a favourite? Was there a favourite that you really loved?
Oh.
The next one is my favourite.
Series two.
Such a creative
Well,
answer.
You have to fall in love with everyone, don't you? Otherwise, how do you go there?
It's true. It's like, which of your children do you like the best? I don't have children, question. But I can imagine. I think you could probably choose one, though.
Which of your shoes do you like the best, darling?
I loved Cardiff. There was some really amazing materiality that we used in Cardiff. Bury St Edmunds. I love them all for different reasons. But yeah, we sort of really pushed the boundaries, I think, with materials.
I kind of love the sheer fantasy element of Barnstable, just because it's kind of one of those rooms that nobody necessarily needs, but you should have. Why not?
Yeah. And in isolation, you might look at the things that were going in and be like, no, No, absolutely not. And then actually, as a whole, it was magic.
Any juicy gossip that you can share with us? Because, you know, we are solely here. Our role in this is to draw out all of these juicy gossip moments from you. Any juicy gossip that
and
you
we won't
can
tell
us?
Anybody.
Oh, yeah. This is probably an indication of how mundane some of the isolation got, that one of the juiciest things that was going around was a WhatsApp group where people were sharing photos of their breakfast that morning, because you would get delivered this breakfast and you didn't have a choice about what you were going to eat. It just turned up outside your door. And one time we got two onion bhajis, a cherry tomato,
half a
vegan sausage roll.
And a packet of ready salted crisps.
For breakfast.
Interesting.
That was between two as well. It's amazing how many parts of the country don't understand what vegan food is.
My favourite one. One of the assistant producers posted a picture, and they had just been delivered a giant gherkin on a plate because they were gluten free. You're having a gherkin.
It was The food situation was challenging. Leeds vegan food was very good, actually. Yeah. I'll go to Leeds again.
Yeah, Leeds was up there with the best vegan food.
Some places less so.
Yeah, that is possibly the worst gluten-free option I've ever
heard. A gherkin before 9 o'clock
for
in
breakfast.
The morning.
Oh,
never.
Breakfast.
That was breakfast.
Talking about breakfast.
No, that was breakfast.
Oh, that's awful, isn't it? Yeah. I do like a gherkin, but not for breakfast. No.
What was the high point, the highest point in the show, where it's a real kind of elation moment for you both?
Mm. There was kind of one every episode where you're so in it with the makeovers. It's so like all happening and you're being pulled off to film this bit and do that. But somehow the makeover still happens. And the reveal when the, you know, the homeowners got to see the rooms, that was such a high every time, wasn't it? And it's so difficult because what you see on telly and the reality of it is, you know, there's three cameras in front of them, there's big lights. So actually for them to see the room is kind of like, oh, what's behind that huge lantern above me? And that cameraman, I think I can see a fireplace behind him. So those moments were really wonderful. And actually after that moment, when the cameras go down and then it was like, oh, right, okay. You know, that was really lovely, really, really lovely.
One of the high points for me was probably, it was often related to the people that we were working with in their homes, because it was just so nice to meet all these people. And one of the couples Kerry worked for the NHS and Sophie worked as a fire person. And it just, they had been through so much and yet they were still just so patient and so up for it. Mm. And it was really humbling and lovely. And I huge respect to them.
Yeah, that was lovely.
But generally, I mean, there was also the moment where, I won't reveal where it happened, but we'd just gone through fresh hell to create this room, and then the homeowner walked in and said, "You've changed my windows." No, that's the
we
one thing we
changed
haven't
the windows.
Changed. What do you think of the colour?
We definitely don't have new windows. They have blinds at them, but they're not.
That was funny.
And because our guilty pleasure is always the bad news and all of the kind of like, you know, your lowest point. When did you hit your lowest point in the series?
I mean, I ran out of eye cream halfway through. It was pretty low for
me.
Oh,
my God.
Yeah. One of the runners managed to find me some. First world problems. No, that was breakfast was often a low point. Good coffee. Really, really didn't have a good cup of coffee for 6 weeks.
I was going to say the vintage light.
Oh,
there's one episode where we ordered this vintage piece, and
it was actually one of the first things that we ordered, and it's been sat in storage for like months and months and months, and then when it arrived,
she made her debut in pieces.
Oh no.
Yeah. That was a bit sad. But actually, there was quite a fun solution.
There was.
Thank you to Agnes. She was incredible, the electrician. She came up with a fabulous solution.
So we obviously need some sneak peeks of what we can expect from the rest of the series now. So can you maybe describe what we can expect in three words? Because we don't want to give too much away. If I had to challenge you for three words of what someone who's never seen changing rooms might expect, what can they expect in three words?
Can we give them six because there's two of them?
I mean, maybe the challenge should be they have to agree on the three words and that'd be more fun.
How long have you got?
No, we won't do that to you. Three each is fine.
Okay, my first word would be brave.
Brave, yeah.
My first word was going to be filth. But I mean, it was on the edge occasionally.
Yeah, definitely. Okay, so brave, filth, colourful. It sounds so boring, but it's so true. There's a lot of colour.
Yeah, we like that here.
So I'm going to say disco sausage as well.
Disco sausage?
There's a disco sausage. Look out for it, people.
I mean, you can't not watch it now.
No, you can't not watch it now.
Dirty Protest, there you go. That's another one. There's, look out for the Dirty Protest as well.
Oh, God.
Told you it was on the edge.
Oh, no.
This sounds amazing. Yeah. I need to get to that bit in the series.
Definitely, fast forward to that bit. Can we talk about your outfits for a second? Because you look amazing. Always look amazing, but you look amazing on the show. How long did it take you to do the shopping before the show? And did you really consider that? Because you look like you did it. You so amazing.
Approximately 9 months of shopping.
Yeah. No. I laugh, but it's true. It's
yes.
It's all Jordan. That was all Jordan.
It's always been, what did I say at the beginning? Clothes show and changing rooms. I think we should bring the clothes show live back as well, by the way.
Are you making a picture for
I'll
right
design
now?
The set, you know, I'll be involved somehow. Fashion has always been a huge, huge influence for me personally and for Russell by proxy because I dress him. he doesn't have a choice in that matter.
It's all coming out now.
But it was really fun. It was sort of, and actually originally we were going to have 3 looks per episode. We were going to have like arrival, makeover and reveal.
Obviously, yeah.
And then it was like a bit too confusing and they wanted people to be able to follow the story and try and figure out which one of us is Russell and which one's Jordan. Yeah. So we narrowed it down to 2 outfits, but we did have full 3 looks per episode planned. So I've got a rail at home ready for series 2 basically.
So now we just need to like go places so that we can wear the third look. The lost third look.
But there was a lot of effort went into it. There's very subtle, like a nail varnish change for every look. Jewellery changes quite often. Probably giving them a nightmare in editing for continuity.
I mean, to be fair, we also had new shoes in each episode and that is a mistake.
That's a mistake, yeah.
I'm going to say right now, I might not be doing that again.
Because they just hurt,
feet,
don't they?
My feet paid for that. Yeah.
There was a lot of Compeed. Other blister plasters are available.
Yeah.
Let's talk leather trousers.
Oh, I know.
I know you're vegan, so you'll never have a pair of leather trousers, but pleather, would that feature?
I wear a pair of pleather shorts, yes.
Ooh, yeah. The only problem with pleather is that when it gets hot, it smells of fish, which was interesting. Do you know when you were at school as a kid and they had copy decks, that kind of,
Oh,
latex smell.
Well, there you go. This is quality content that we've got here. Listeners, never wear pleather in the hot. But did LLB approve of the pleather shorts?
He made fun of them quite a lot.
I bet he did.
He really did.
I was just jealous. He secretly loved them.
Yeah.
I'm not sure he could pull off leather shorts.
His whole thing with the leather is because it's wipeable. He always says, you see, it's wipeable.
It's smart, you know, there's method to it. He was covered in paint and everything wipes off. Whereas there's a particular episode with a pair of brand new white sneakers and splattered paint.
They're now art forever. They're now.
I was crushed. I was like, oh my God.
You can auction them off.
Yeah, maybe. There we go. Charity auction. Yeah, they're beautiful. They are very unique. Or even the splatters aren't quite equal,
which bothers me.
I was like, there's way more splats on your left foot than your right. You need to even that out.
Were you secretly like there with the brush ready to get more on the
other
side?
No, I was too terrified of getting covered in paint. I had one dot on a pair of white Converse of blue paint. I was like, sleepless nights. Sleepless
like
nights.
The eye cream all over it.
I was often in the firing line with the paint because Jordan was like, not on my shoe.
Oh, I love that. We have got one last question for you, because which I'm gutted about because I've had so much fun chatting to you. I'm literally crying. So to end, we always ask all of our guests. Now, this might be a hard one, but think about it. It'd be fine. Have you got a favourite colour and why is this your favourite colour? Mm-hmm. Who wants to go first?
Oh, it's very easy for me.
Is it? Okay.
It's been the same answer since I was probably able to speak. My favourite colour is pink. Any
is there
pink?
A particular shade of pink?
Not really. I'm not biased. Any shade of pink, I'm super into pink.
And why do you think you like pink?
I mean, if we were really to dig deep, it's probably something about growing up queer and, you know, not wanting to wear blue all the time and sort of drawn to girls' things, in inverted commas. And I just think it's such a happy, joyful colour that is so... I don't know. I think it makes everyone happy.
I think it captures you.
Yeah,
as well.
I like to hear that.
Yeah, it is you.
Well, interestingly, when I was little, I can remember the first sort of time anyone asked me, what colour do you like? And I was at a friend's house for like tea. I think we were about 7 or 8. And he said blue to his mum. And she said, what colour do you like, Russell? And I said peach. And I just thought that was entirely normal for a 7-year-old to like peach. And I can remember her face dropped. And she just sort of thought, okay. But it was this weird kind of like subversion. I was like, oh, is that subversive in some strange way? So yeah,
it's isn't it funny that you remember that though, that had such an impact, and that colour could be divisive. Yeah. It's crazy,
but it makes you hold on to it all the more, doesn't it? If someone challenges something, you sort of want to hug it tighter. So maybe that's why I've been holding on to peach and pinks and various shades of peach for a long time.
Well, there we go.
It's funny though, I thought you were going to say malachite green.
Well, I do love malachite green. I am partial.
Very specific as well, actually. There we are.
I can't stop being obsessed with malachite. I just love it. It's just, there's so many different tones in it. So I like to pull tones from a piece of malachite that we have at home often.
Very insightful.
Said no one ever.
Yeah. So yeah. I often sit at home and pull a tone from malachite.
Yeah. Funnily enough, no one has said that as their favourite colour so far, but I love that you have. So that's always, we love asking that question. It's so insightful to just kind of understand.
Yeah, good question.
Kind of work, so. Well, sadly, that does actually bring us to the end of our time interviewing you two, but it has been an absolute pleasure having you on. You're just the nicest guys. So we've been really excited to have you, and we are really excited to see what's going to come from the series. So thank you so much for your time today, and good luck with the rest of the series.
Thank you so much for having
us. Thank you.
Yes, we should move on and talk about how you at home can recreate some of these fabulous looks for yourselves using tips and tricks from our very own Dr. Dulux. Change to the usual structure of this section, we will be, or more specifically, I will be probing Dr. Dulux to guide you through some of the questions and queries that you might have on what you've seen in the latest episode. You might be thinking, should I get some panelling in my home? Could neutrals really be interesting? And crucially, I wonder if I should find a space in my home for my very own dirty protest. Well, wonder no more, as Dr. Dulux is here to help us answer those questions. Dr. Dulux, hello.
Well, hello, Steph.
Hello, are you ready?
I am ready.
For our first decorating directive?
Yes, far away.
Well, my first question is all around those vases. Mm. That was a really fantastic way to use up a bit of spare paint in something as ordinary as a spaghetti jar, which is what they used to create fantastic lamp bases. Can you talk us through top tips on how to do this for ourselves?
Okay.
Please.
So I would choose 3 or 4 colours that are already represented in the room. So you might have a bit of wall colour. You might have a bit of colour that takes us to some cushions or a piece of artwork. So colours that relate back to the room. So when that vase goes in the room, it's going to look gorgeous in that space. And then if this is just emulsion paint, Steph, so I'd put those colours into a little plastic pot, you know, a little yogurt pot or something, thin them down until the consistency of pouring cream. So that's sort of single cream.
Yep.
You don't need a lot. Literally, you only need a few tablespoons of each colour. And then pour them one at a time into the bottom of that vase. Now make sure, really importantly, you don't touch the paint. Try and pour it so it hits the bottom rather than the sides on the way down.
Right.
It's really important.
Yeah.
And then once you've got paint at the bottom of that vase, and if you're thinking about the spaghetti jars, I would think maybe you've got a couple of centimetres maximum paint in there. You don't want too much because otherwise it will never dry and it will always look a bit dodgy at the bottom.
Yeah.
So once you've got that paint at the bottom, start to swirl. Tip the vase on its side and start to swirl the paint, roll the vase through your hands, and then the paint will start to swirl together, and that's where you get that lovely marble effect. And then once you put the vase upright again, the paint will all sort of join together and it will become this beautiful marbled. It's just gorgeous.
It was it was amazing. I had just never I have worked here for a long time and I had never thought of using paint in that way. It was just brilliant. I absolutely loved seeing that come together. And I just thought it was so clever, not only the combination of the colors But then, as you say, when it then starts to dry and the colours start to kind of merge into each other, it becomes this almost beautiful marbled effect, doesn't it?
It's beautiful. And we've got a how-to on that. So check out the how-to and we'll show you how to do that.
Absolutely. That was exactly going to be my prescription. In fact, yes. I prescribe a how-to video.
Absolutely.
And you can find said how-to video on recreating this effect on our website or on the Dulux YouTube channel. So definitely check that out for more information and more hints and tips on how you can do that for yourself. Excellent. So I have another one for you.
I'm ready.
Of course, we have already talked at length on this topic, but I did love the dirty protest moment. And I loved it for a few reasons, because it was obviously very brave. Yeah. And I loved the organic nature of it. If someone wanted to go and do something like this for themselves, what kind of tips do you have for someone who wants to add a bit of free hand, perhaps, to their walls?
Well, lots of dust sheets down to start off with.
Yes, safety
first. A nice
first.
Big bucket of hot soapy water and a cloth in case it goes horribly wrong.
Not that we're saying that it will, of course.
And some spare background paint in case it goes wrong, but it won't go wrong. I would thin that paint down a little bit as well, because if it's too thick, that brush will just kind of, it won't kind of put it on nice and evenly. And you want it to kind of swoosh along nice and easy.
Yeah.
I would also actually just slightly moisten the bristles of the brush too.
Yeah,
so there's a soft
that's a good
floor
idea.
Brush. Don't use a synthetic floor brush. I would use a kind of like one of the Koya matting ones, kind of cheap ones. Wet it ever so slightly, nice soft bristles, dip it into the paint, and then just flipping go for it.
Just go for it.
Flipping go for
it. If you think too much about these sorts of things, it starts to look as if you've just done it wrong, doesn't it?
I mean, you could, if you were really worried about the shape, you might get some coloured chalk and just give yourself a big swish to follow.
Yes.
So you could take that up onto the ceiling, so that just gives you something to follow. But literally, if you overthink these things, they just don't work. So it's just literally go for it. And actually, just walk away once you've done it. Walk away from it.
Don't keep going back and fidgeting with it.
Because, that's the worst thing. I'm a terrible fidgeter. I just cannot help but tinker with things. And it's usually the first time you do something is the best thing. So you go kind of do it, leave it alone.
Oh, it's very brave to commit to it though, isn't it?
Yeah,
but hey,
yeah.
I think we've got some brave, brave listeners out there.
Yeah.
I think they're going to do it.
Yeah.
Well, listeners, we would love to see your dirty protests on the wall.
Absolutely.
Once you've given that a go for yourself. So definitely do hit us up with your images of trying that for yourself, because I'd love to see how that goes.
I would definitely love to see that. Yep.
I might try that at home myself, you know. We'll give it a go. We'll give it a go. Maybe somewhere in the garden, far, far away. No, I'm going to be brave. I'm going to be brave and do it somewhere in the house for sure. Again, some excellent prescriptions there, Dr. Dulux. So as before, you can find all of this information on our dulux.co.uk website or on the Dulux YouTube channel. So definitely go there to check more of that out for yourselves.
Well, that almost brings us to the end of this week's episode. But don't worry, we'll be back the same time next week for another juicy instalment packed full of all the gossip from the latest episode of Changing Rooms. What else have we got coming up next week, Steph?
Well, lovely listeners, in next week's instalment, we will be welcoming Anna Richardson, the fabulous presenter of Changing Rooms.
She's great.
I am really looking forward to meeting her because I absolutely love her on all of her shows. And I just think she brings something special to this show too. So she is such an amazing character. I cannot wait to chat to her.
I think she's going to give us the complete unedited inside track of what's been going
on,
really going on behind the scenes of this iconic show. We'll also be doing a deep dive into the latest episode, giving you our opinions on the designs and walking you through how to recreate elements of those designs for yourselves. And I will, of course, get my white coat on as Dr. Dulux.
Absolutely. And if you have enjoyed listening to today's episode, then please, please head on over to your preferred podcast platform and hit that subscribe button so you can be kept up to date with further fantabulous content from us and the show, of course. And it would be very great if you leave us a short review to tell us all about what you enjoyed. We genuinely love hearing your feedback, so do take a moment if you can.
Absolutely. Yes, thank you so much for your support. We can't do this show without your support, can
we, Steph? Absolutely not, no.
So it's bye-bye from us here at Dulux HQ, and please do come back for another episode of
Let's Colour!